We would like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It is time to take time for Jesus coming to you in your home, however you be listening to us, and we're just proud to say again that Jesus is still in control of our lives and he's still on the throne. He's alive and alive forevermore. He died for our sins, but he arose the third day as he said he would. And he's the first fruits of the dead to rise to never die again. Friends and loved ones out there in the world, we need to understand that the day of the Lord is nigh at hand. And we need to come to understand that without knowledge of him and without the believing that what God has done through Jesus Christ and brought forth salvation for you and I, and he came into this world to bring forth his righteousness that he may impute it unto us, that wherein that we can receive the Lord in our hearts, believe in the finished works of Calvary, trusting in the Almighty God in the name of Jesus, and receive salvation for our soul. As he spoke to the Jews there, to the scribes and the Pharisees there at one time, he told them, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. My friends, there's only one name that God gives to Mary to be called by, and that was Jesus. He said, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's no other name given among man whereby that we can have salvation but at the name of Jesus. So any other name that declares to be or has been brought forth is of the enemy of your soul, the old man called the devil or the serpent. We understand that the scriptures cannot be broken. Now, if we're going to believe what the scripture says, then we've got to accept what they say as being the infallible word of God and the truth and use it for that, for the salvation of our souls. Otherwise, my friend, if we don't believe what the scripture says, then we are going to wind up in the bottomless pits of hell because of our unbelief. So that's what's got us into trouble to begin with, is disobedience and unbelief. Adam disobeyed God when he told him not to partake of the tree of life. Evidently, he didn't believe him when he said he would die if he did. So nevertheless, unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ will do nothing but bring us into sorrow, grief, and in the end, damnation. So it's time that we taken out of our daily life and choose to call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him, and taking time to give to him out of our day of life that he has blessed us with. My friends, it's come time that wherein that we can see all the fulfillment of the word of God being fulfilled in our eyesight today. All these things that are being spoke of throughout the media and all these things that have been brought forth from NASA saying that they've seen new things in the heavens and new worlds being formed and everything. I want you to think about it, that God had performed everything and made everything that exists even today when he created it all then. There's nothing new. There's nothing new in the heavens or in the earth beneath. So we got to realize that God is sovereign. He created all these things for his benefit and for his glory. He looks upon it as he looked upon the bow that he told Noah that it would be a sign between him and the God that he wouldn't flood the earth no more. Of course, there's other people that are in this world that is depraved and deprived of spiritual application of God's word because of their unbelief, and they use that same sign as their motto of as to who they are. Well, one day they're going to find out that it ain't going to help them much, but nevertheless, except you believe that he is, was, and always will be the Almighty God, His name was named many names in the Old Testament. One time he came as Melchizedek, and many times he come as the angel of the Lord. And when the Spirit of God told Mary she would conceive and bring forth a son, and he shall save his people from their sins, his name should be called Jesus. So there's no other name given among men whereby that we can have salvation. So be it known, if you're calling upon some other God over in Italy or something that declares themselves to be God, or they've got an initial new revelation of some kind, he's of the devil, he's a liar, and the devil's his father. So believe me, my friend, read your Bible, as I often tell you. Read it to find out the truth of God's word and what God has to say about the times that he began to create everything and the times that he's going to destroy everything. All in the middle there, it gives us that truth of his word and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. So you can't deny it. If you do, you're denying the only part of salvation that you'll only have the opportunity for, in Jesus' name. Let us pray for one for another as we enter in. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came in the flesh. The Almighty God came down and walked among men, died on Calvary's cross for our sins, and therefore was obedient to even to death on the cross. And giving praise unto him, the Father, in Jesus' name, we give you the glory and the honor for all things and for anything. We just praise you and thank you today for this opportunity to lift up thy precious name. Unto them that will hear, give them a heart to believe and receive, an ear to hear. I just pray, God, that you would help us and bless us, the word as it goes forth, and help us to win souls for thee, because all other things is going to deteriorate, pass away, but you, the word of God, will stand forever. So we just praise you and we give you honor and glory. Those that are sick amongst your children, them that call upon thy name, be with them and comfort them and touch and bring forth and deliver. And all that is done and accomplished in that precious name of Jesus, Father, we be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. My wife's got something other here for you now. We're going to let her take the time here to magnify the Lord. Amen.
I thank the Lord for his blessings that we still have, that we can lift up the name of Jesus. Our desire on Take Time for Jesus is touch your life through the word of God. The word was made flesh and walked among us, and his name is Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he wants you to come to him no matter what you've done or no matter what you're doing now. All you need to do is not repeat after anybody, but be sincere and turn your life around and ask Jesus to come into your heart and from that day on to serve him and do what is right. And I want to read to you this afternoon, Solving a Mystery. One of the most popular tourist attractions in England is the giant pillars of Stonehenge. These massive pieces of granite are also a great source of mystery, and every year people from all over the world travel to Stonehenge with questions such as, why were they erected? Who accomplished this extraordinary engineering marvel? And perhaps we wonder most of all how they did it. But visitors leave there having received no answers from the silent stones. The mystery still remains. The scriptures speak of a great mystery, the fact that God came to live among us as a man. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This brief overview of the life of Christ, the mystery of godliness, is remarkable. What prompted the creator of the universe to come and live and die for his creation? however, is not a mystery. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. God's great love for us is the root of the mystery of godliness, and the cross has made it plain for all to see that God was flesh, and Jesus is all I need. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. He is my Savior and my Redeemer. He is my Healer. He is my Counselor, my Comforter, my Provider, my Friend. In him I can trust. This world may pass away, but I will have Jesus forever. He will never leave me. He rescues us and me from danger. He fills my life with good things. He ransoms me from the jaws of my enemies. I stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. With long life will he satisfy me. And when my journey is complete, angels will escort me into his presence. I will see the one who died for me face to face. Is it any wonder why Jesus is all I need? And this may be your final warning. Your heart may be harder and still harder the next day. Today is the day of salvation. Trust Jesus Christ today. Tomorrow may never come, and I always say today is the day of repentance. Bible says in Jesus, if you got a red letter Bible, he was the one that said it. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Anything I read on the broadcast, you email us and you can get a copy of it to share with someone else, or if you want a CD or whatever, we can make one for you. But we just want to lift up the name of Jesus in these last days as long as we can. We are not ashamed in the name of Jesus. It is the power that keeps us on the right track. May God bless you. And if you want to write to us, it's Post Office Box, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Or email ecompton31@yahoo.com. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Friends, it's been a time that down through the years, even when I was a young man, not that I'm ancient, but I'm a little older than I was then, but nevertheless, it's been some dispute about who this man Jesus is and how he came to be and what he is. And many people have tried to describe it, and still to some people it's a great mystery. Well, as Paul wrote to Timothy there in 3:16, he said, great is the mystery. Now, a lot of times that people don't understand mysteries simply because they don't try to understand what the Word of God has to say concerning the mystery which in they don't really seek to find. It is a mystery to them that are lost, but to them that will seek the truth, it can be revealed to them. The scripture is plainly enough to know that God is a spirit, and it would be impossible for you to nail the spirit God onto a cross and that he would bleed and die, because it had to be flesh that would be nailed onto the flesh. So in John, the first chapter there of John, he speaks about that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there the 14th verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What is it so hard to understand? The Bible, from what I've been told and what indication that even to a fourth grade education pit should be able to understand it, but there's so many today with this higher education, it's got to where that they are so thinking there's no so much that they've tried to prove that the world came to because of a great explosion and everything is here. Well, that's a lie out of hell and the devil's the father of it. Do you mean to tell me that you really believe that all this came about because of two elements that run together and caused a big mighty explosion and a man with a mind to name all of the animals and all these things and all these things came to be? Well, if you believe that, you believe that the devil is going to be saved, but he himself will never be saved. But he believes in the one sovereignty of God. He believes and trembles. Now, if you believe and you don't tremble, then something's wrong with your faith there. But it comes by believing what he has done, is doing, and what he will do. My friend, if we would take time to read what the scripture has to say, then we would believe that God was manifested in the flesh. When Jesus was preaching to the people around and about in his day when he walked among man, he made an attempt there to go and, as the fourth chapter of John said, when therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees and they heard and Jesus had baptized more disciples than John. Though Jesus didn't baptize nobody, but it's the 12 apostles. But they wanted his name. He had won a lot of people for the kingdom of God, and they got jealous. So you got preachers in the world today, and other people too are jealous because someone really makes an effort to make something other really go to work for the kingdom of God. As Jesus was, he preached the kingdom of God is at hand. They got jealous of him because they didn't want to lose their position. Well, many people today is doing the same thing. I think that's what had a lot to do with the firing of the member of the school board here in Hillsborough County and everything myself. I think it was jealousy. And amongst them, they conformed a conspiracy there to eliminate her to put in somebody else, and they brought it all up. But it'll be come out in the truth of the matter is, and everything will be resolved. It may not put her back in the position she was in, but she may win out on other methods, and they would come to naught themselves. But nevertheless, Jesus then went through, he was on his way to there to go through Samaritan, and he come up to the well, the Jacob's well there where Jacob had gave to his son there. And my friend, we got to realize that Jacob had 12 sons and one of them's name was Joseph. And when Jacob gave that well to Joseph, he came that all of Israel was one time. They're not all Jews, but they're all Israelites, or put it like that, all Hebrews. But the 10 tribes that went to the northern they called them Samaritans. The Jews and the two tribes in the south considered them to be nothing but dogs. They didn't have no dealings with them, but Jesus went by there to tear down that wall of partition there and bring forth a unity between the people of his own choice when he chose Israel to be his own there. It's the same way he's trying to do today. They tore down the Berlin Wall to bring a unity back into Germany over there, but you still got so many walls of barriers there with the denominational churches and things and this. You can't be any Christian unless you belong to this denomination or that group or this group. But my friend, if you don't belong to Jesus and you hadn't been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and received of the Spirit, he said, for without my Spirit, you are none of mine. And if you haven't been born again, you're not going to receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. It just don't dwell in an unclean temple. I don't care where you come from or where you think you're going. If you got sin in your life and claim to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you and the devil both is a liar, because God said his Spirit would not dwell in an unclean temple. So you got to be cleansed up. And the only way that temple can be cleansed is by the blood of Jesus Christ who died for us. For the word says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into this world that he would die for the sins, plain and simple, that through him that his people would be saved. So there's no other name given whereby you can call upon. These other gods that they claim to be is just a lie, is all you can say. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we're baptized into, one body. He is the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration. My friend, you can't get around it if you read the Bible and believe what the Scripture says. You can walk away from these here teaching you otherwise and believe what the Word says. And if you do, then you're going to know that there's more truth in the Word of God than what a lot of these people are saying. My friend, I'm not trying to persuade you to turn aside from anything. I'm trying to persuade you to read your Bible, to believe what it has to say. And if a man or woman, whomever it might be, tries to tell you anything contrary to that, and you know that it's not biblically, then you need to turn aside from it. You don't need to have no dealings with it. But the woman at the well there, when Jesus was tired from his journey, and no doubt he was weary, according to the Scriptures, he sat down at the well there, on the well curbing, you might say, and when this woman that in the hour there that she came alone. She didn't come with the rest of the women because they figured that she was not worthy to be in the clique, you might say. Well, there's a lot of preachers this day and time has got their little cliques and their little congregation they few around, and some of them don't fit in with everything he says or does. Well, he's not in their clique, whether it be man or female. But my friend, today, this woman here, she came, and there it came to be that Jesus sat there, and when she came up, she was a Samaritan. She came up to him, and he said to ask her to give to him to drink. And she said, how be it that you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, and you ask of me to give to you to drink? In other words, we don't have no dealings with one another, so why would you ask me to give you water? He said, if you had knowed who it was that asked of you to give to drink, you would ask of him to give you living waters. Well, right away, her carnality and mind said, give to me this living waters where I won't have to come here and draw. Well, that's a kind of a foolish thing, because he was speaking about the Spirit of God, the eternal life that he offered her through the living waters. He is our living waters. He's the same rock that followed the children of Israel around through the wilderness there, the same rock they drank out of, which was Jesus Christ. When Moses spoke to the rock at one time, it gave water. The next time he smote the rock because he got put out with the people there of grumbling and carrying on. Poor old Moses would be in a bad shape with the grumbling and carrying on with the people today. He'd be done maybe taking his rod and smite something beside the rock. But he smit the rock. But I want you to know it gave water anyway. But God is going to be there. He was smitten by the people of the time. He was bruised for our iniquities. And on him was put the chastisement of our peace. And when they beat him on the back, they plucked the beard from his face. And they beat him in such a manner that till he was almost unrecognizable, but maybe was to some people because they didn't recognize him to start with. But he was brutally beaten by them people there at that time. But he suffered all this, my friend, for you and I. He didn't uphold a minute, but nevertheless, he done it for you and I. He knew that this was coming. And when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane there, he said, Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, he answered to the Spirit God, but the Spirit God became flesh. So the Spirit God was the Father of all creation, but Jesus was manifested. God was manifested in the flesh. There's some people that says Jesus was created just like any man. Well, if he was, my friend, his blood would not have cleansed you from yours, because all men flesh that was created after the similitude of Adam was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But God was manifested in the flesh. He came into this world to die for us, but he took our sins and our iniquities upon him, being obedient even to death and being nailed to the cross, taking our burdens of sin upon him, and died for our sins, giving us that opportunity for eternal life. Now, if you can believe what the scripture says, then you will believe this. But if you're going to believe what some off of the wall preacher come along and tried to tell you otherwise, and you believe him more than you believe the Bible, then you will be like him. You're going to go down in defeat, because except we believe what the Word of God says and accept it as being the truth, then anything else is going to have to be a lie. So my friends, it's time we taken the thing by the bits, or the horse by the bit, the bridle by the bits, or whatever you want to call it, get down to the nitty gritty, where Brother McGee used to say, where the rubber hits the road, and read your Bible. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Read your Bible. Don't take my word for it, or anybody else's word. Any other man that preaches, if you don't take his word for it, if he gets out of God's word, then listen to him if you want to, but don't believe him. But my friend, believe what the Word of God has to say. Accept it and rejoice in it, because the truth of God's Word will set you free. He said that when we receive the Holy Ghost, it would lead us and guide us into all truth. But if you don't let him lead and guide you by not reading the Word, you're not going to know the truth. The truth will set you free, my friend. I know I've been in this world quite a few years, but I have known many people that claim that they had the truth. We had one here with Jones here not too many years ago, had a bunch of people believe that he was the Messiah, carried him off over there and gave him Kool-Aid, and they all died from it because it was poison. We've had others to come along. You got denominations come along, except you believe to this, belong to this institute or this denomination or whatever, you can't make it into glory. Well, it's a lie out of hell. If you don't belong to Jesus and been born again of the water and of the Spirit, baptized in his name, and that brings forth another question of which end that people can't understand. Even though they're high education, they're supposed to be able to understand how to split an atom, but they can't even understand fourth grade language of how God was manifested in the flesh. I'm telling you, it just behooves me. I'm glad I didn't get that kind of education. I'm glad I just went ahead and let God teach me some things that I needed to know about him. I'm glad to know that he is, was, and always will be God manifested in the flesh from the beginning even unto now. My friend, we're not going to see no other gods coming. When Paul was on the road to Damascus going to put people in jail and everything for light above the noonday sun shone around about him, and he fell to the dirt or the earth, and he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest." Oh, my friends, there's no other God. Jesus is his name, but yet and still you've got some denominations, some fellowships they call themselves, that his fellowship with the left hand of the devil told them a bunch of lies, that they're supposed to have a greater revelation than any of the apostles, even to Jesus Christ, when he told us that he was manifested in the flesh, but they said, no, he was created like any other man. Well, he believed that if he wants to. He'll believe it and die and go to hell, and he'll understand, but it'd be too late then. Friend, I'm trying to persuade you to believe what the Word of God said. Not take my word for it, but believe what the Word of God said. It said, except they repent and believe that he was he, they would die in their sin. So unless we believe that God was manifested in the flesh and was preached into this world, believed on in this world, and brought forth there. What are we going to do? What are you going to believe in? Are you believing the moon is made of green cheese? Well, a lot of people have had that old thing going on for a long time, but the moon is not made of green cheese, my friend. It may be something other to it because there's a lot of rats trying to get up there, but I want you to think about it. God was manifested in the flesh. When he came into this world, he was there all the time. He created it from the foundation of the world. The word of God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke his word and said, let the light and to be divided in night and day. He spoke between the heavens and the earth. He said, let the dry land appear. All these things he spoke, but John recorded it were a simple thing where the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word. So what else do we need? Do we need some of these theologians to come along and tell you that God is something other than what he is? When you don't believe what the word says, then you're not going to believe into nothing. You believe a lie and be damned. And he said, the scripture teaches us that he'd turn them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. So are you going to let these people tell you that God is a something else other than what he is? And he's the third in the Trinity or whatever they want to call it? My friend, he was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus is his name. There's no other name given among man whereby that you can call upon be saved. Father is not a name, it's a title. Son is not a name, it's a title. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God. The anointing of God is the Christ that the woman made mention about at the well. She said, I heard that the Messiah would come and he would tell us of all truths and bring it to thy knowledge. In other words, he said, I am he that whom speaketh to thee. What else can you say, my friend? Can you deny the word of God and say God didn't know what he was talking about? That's what they said about Peter when he stood there on the day of Pentecost. And he said, when they asked him, what shall they do to be saved? He said, repent, every one of you, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But many preachers say Peter didn't know what he was talking about. He lied there. That Matthew 28:19, and when Jesus told him, he said, go forth and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, my friend, he distinctly spoke about a name. Title? No. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ. He is, was, and always will be, and these three are one. Not three separate ones, as some of these favorite. And but by the way, Mary can't help you none. You pray it out to Mary to pray to Jesus, and Jesus pray to the Father. Just go to Jesus. He's the source of your salvation, not Mary. Mary was out of the lineage of David, to where kings come from, and God anointed David to be king over Israel, and he will be, my friend, and acknowledge that in the scriptures and everything. But Mary was out of the lineage, and so was Joseph. But men don't have babies, although this present world has got so stupid and sick and round-minded and everything until they, I don't know what they're trying to do, but they're sure stooped in their sins. But Mary was the instrument or the vessel that God had to use, because not because she was the only virgin in Jerusalem. There was probably no doubt many there, but they were not all out of the lineage of David, and therefore it had to come from him, out of his lineage, to where in kings come from through the bloodline, and therefore Mary was the one that the angel stood forth there and told her that she would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. My friend, it just wasn't by coincidence. It was by the will of God in his mind from the foundation of the world that he was going to bring forth a sacrifice there to end all sacrifices, that whereby that Jesus became the lamb slain from the foundation of the world to die for you and I. Even while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. So now, who is going to be the one that is going to stand before all generations? Who are we going to stand before? Are we going to stand before the Father and Jesus ain't going to be there? Are we going to stand before the Holy Ghost and neither one of the others is going to be there? Or are we going to stand before the Almighty God, Jesus himself? Bible says that when he ascended, after his resurrection, he ascended into the clouds and received out of their sight. And they were standing there gazing, and the angel of the Lord said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? For this same Jesus who goeth away will come again in like manner." My friend, when he comes in the clouds of glory, he's going to be sitting upon the throne of his glory. He's going to receive them that have been born again, and their sins are covered with the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's going to receive his bride into him to himself and in the clouds of glory. This is just his appearing for his church. It's not his second coming as we can look forward to. As we look into his return for the church, it's glad rejoicing for the saints of God to be moved by his spirit, to look in and hasten until that time. But the day of the Lord is going to be dark and gloomy. It's going to be such a devastating time until it's not going to be pleasant at all, my friend. When Jesus comes back with his saints falling upon the white horse, he's coming to do battle, and he's going to wind up with the battle of Armageddon, where he puts all the adversaries and all liars, cheaters, all sinners into the under his feet. Even to death he's going to cast out. My friend, it's going to come when he puts his foot on Mount Olive and it caves away. Oh, my friend, today it pays us to be ready. We don't know the day or the hour, but there's going to come an appearance of him in the clouds of glory. One of these days that old NASA's telescopes up there is going to see something other, and they're going to say, "What is this? There's something new." Oh, it's the Lord himself coming in the clouds of glory. Oh, like that woman in Guadalupe Air Force Base there looks out and says, "Oh, I see Mary coming down." And then she says, "Oh, I see her son coming down." As I heard a fellow say one time, she was going to look out there one day and mistake and say, "Oh, I see that D-17 or something other coming down." My friend, that woman is about as full of mud as an old mud hut. She can't see these things. They're not there for a man. It's a lie out of hell. The devil puts these things in people's minds to bring forth and deceive people. When all them 6 million or better people gathered in a square to hear one old man speak as he was God, he's not God, my friend. He's a devil's handmaiden, and he'll take a lot of people into sin because they believe that he is something that he ain't. So, my friend, we're looking at the things that which is devastating to us. It's going to be hindered till you enter into the kingdom of God and going to die in your sin because you do not believe what God has gave the report. As Isaiah spoke about it, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? My friend, the report has been given from the day that it all was set in order when God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof by Jesus Christ. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. So where you get off of this stuff at with people saying that all this big bang come together, and here it is, we got it. That's like throwing a croaker sack up in the air and said, "Fill this with a Rolex watch." You believe that can happen? Well, if you believe that it's created by a big bang in the wherever, and all this existed because of that, then you could believe that you throw that croaker sack up in there and say, here, fill it with a Rolex watch, and all the parts have come together, and there you got your Rolex watch. If you believe that, you believe that the devil is God himself, and he is the God of this world. But some people believe anything because they haven't read what God had to say about anything. God is sovereign. He don't need you and I, friend, but we need him. It's like the oxygen that we breathe. We can't see it, but we can't live without it. You may exist without God being in your life, and so is God to allow you to be. But when you come to be, breath of life leaves from you, you're going to be dead. And the only way you're going to live eternal is going to have the Spirit of God in you. You've got to be born again. Because when that breath that God shuts your breath off, still warm from his nostrils, you're going to die. Ain't no way you can live without it. Now, they got all this here life support, they call it, and everything like that there, and they can hook you up to this and hook you up to that, and they say that it can preserve your life, and that's a lie, too. It just keeps everything circulating and kind of keeps your body warm, but when your brain is dead, you're dead, plain and simple. There's no life in the brain. There's no life anywhere else. My friend, it's time we got together with God and repent of our sins, calling in upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing the full report that has been given, and let the arm of the Lord be revealed to us in Christ Jesus, because he is the Messiah. He came, they were spoken about the Messiah to the Jewish people. They denied him, stood there before Pilate and said, we only have one king, and it's Caesar. They chose Barabbas, which was a murderer and a thief and all. They chose him above the Messiah. Get away with him and crucify him, but give us Barabbas. The world's doing the same thing today. The same-sex marriage and everything is depleting the world with all of this and the lies and these people going around and says, except you do it my way or it's a highway. Yeah, I got the authority to tell you this because God gave me the revelation above anything else. And my friend, if he gets out or come in with that stuff, the best thing for you to do is turn around, walk off and leave it. Because there's no revelation given unto man of this day outside of the book of that when Paul was given a revelation there in the wilderness, when he went out into Arabia there, and he was there for about 3 years, and God taught him all he needed to know. He came back, and he was chosen vessel to the Gentiles, and he brought a better revelation into what was and who was and Jesus was. And when John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos, and he gave him the revelation of revelation to come forth and to give unto us of what's going to transpire in the last days, and if a man comes and tells you he got a better revelation than that, he's a liar. The truth ain't in him. I don't care where he come from. The word of God is truth, and there's no other. No other man knows it any more than God does. And he gave this here to the men of old to write by. He, the anointing of God, the Spirit, the Christ, the Holy Ghost, gave them the unction, spoke to them in their hearts, and they wrote it down. And for God to speak to us through his word and for us to believe, and except we believe, we're going to die in our sins. So it's time we begin to realize that we're not here just to mingle around and enjoy life. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to magnify him and serve him in the beauty of holiness. My friends, it's time we got to realize that the rubber has done come on the road, and the point of the thing is coming right down, and the thing of the end is right in view. All the things that Jesus spoke about 2,000 years ago is being fulfilled right in yours and my eyes today. And he said, when this generation that seeth these things come to pass will not pass away until all things be fulfilled. He spoke of it, as I've told you before, the days of Noah, they was running, doing the same thing they doing now. Sin on every hand, all kinds of things going on. And it even repented God that he even made man. But he destroyed all but 8 souls off of there by the flood. Oh, and he took male and female of each one of the creation that he had made to replenish the earth. He kept them alive on the ark to replenish the earth. And you tell me this here same-sex marriage is going to be of God? That's a lie to hell, and the devil's the father of it. It's going to be Katie barred the door, so they say, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, as he spoke about again, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Lot lived in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was involved there in that town. Him and his wife and 2 daughters, youngest daughters, got out. His wife had to look back, and there's a lot of people looking back today, my friend. They're looking to the things of this world instead of looking to the things that are out of this world, which God has promised us eternal life, a new heaven and a new earth. They want to stay in this old sinful generation of whatever it is. But I, my friend, when she turned and looked back, one more glimpse of the city of sin, where he had all this his stuff contrived, to God couldn't even find 10 souls worthy to be saved. He saved 3. One of them turned back and looked and turned to a pillar of salt according to the word of God, and I believe it. 3 got out. But my friend, it's come time that we got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the report that has been given about him, who he was, the beginning to the end, and all in the middle. We got to receive the word of God. The one woman at the well, when he asked her, he said, bring your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you said right. You see, you're going to have to own up to the truth, and the truth's going to be revealed in the end days. But he said, you told the truth. In other words, you're right. You've had 5 husbands, but the one you're with is not yours. But when after he had told her these things and all, she went about and after she had said, well, there, said, when it, there, the so 9th verse, he said unto the woman, that's a Samaritan, unto her, how is it that thou being a Jew ask of me to drink? He said, which have a woman of Samaritan, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said unto thee, give to me to drink, you would have asked of him to give you living waters. So the woman wanted the water, that she wanted the water. She didn't want to have to come to that well and draw. See, she was kind of like an outcast. The other women didn't want her to come around there when they did, because she was living in adultery, in other words. So as they come along, and Jesus answered in the 13th verse, and he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the waters that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be unto him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, he's the only one that can give you eternal life. And that's the Spirit of God that he's speaking about. The woman said, give to me, sir, give to me that this water that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus said unto, go bring thy husband thither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast said well. Said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands. So evidently she was married to 5, and the others had passed on, and she married again, which was completely legal in that day. So it is today also. But he says, and the one thou havest is not thine own, and said, thou truly. Well, there's a lot of people in the world today living together as husband and wife, but they're not truly married. But that's beside the point. They'll have to suffer the consequences when it comes time to stand before the Almighty God for their sin, because he's not going to uphold them in it. And the woman said unto him, 19th verse, and the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped in this mountain, and he said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believest me, and the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know that ye worship for salvation is in the Jew, to the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worship shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh them that worship him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. 25th verse said, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. Even he is to come and will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you, unto thee am he. And she went and told the other people of the town, come and see a man that has told me everything. Is not he the Christ? Not he the Messiah, in other words. And they came out because of what the message that she told them. But when they come and heard him speak themselves, and they heard him speaking of the words and everything, they asked him to tarry with them, and he abode there with them, teaching them the truth, and many of them believed. And they told her, said, we no longer believe what because of you said, but we've heard him firsthand. My friend, read the Bible, you'll hear him firsthand. That's where it's all at. The word of truth, the word of God, at firsthand. You don't need someone else to tell you except to guide you and to lead you towards the teaching of the word of God by reading the word of God. It's time we take time for Jesus and his word. When we take time out of all of others and we look unto him, walking in faith and believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, find out for your truth, because it's all in the word of God. Read your Bible, my friend. Seek the kingdom of God with your whole heart, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, repenting and seeking him for the salvation of your soul, because there's no other name given. May God bless you and keep you. Write to us. Encourage us. That's what I'm trying to do to you, my friend. Until next time, may God richly bless you and keep you. Amen and amen.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. If you would like to contact the show, you can do so in the mail at Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Or you can email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.